All right, thank you, Pastor Paul. Thank you. We had a good supper last night, and we'd been eating everywhere. And America, man, we are spoiled with America. Yeah. The land of abundance. Thank you. I was thinking of what I'm going to share this morning, and the Lord laid up on my heart there is a subject that I like and I want to share that, and that is souls. This morning, would I ask you to open your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 2. Consider Genesis chapter number 2. And if you're in Genesis chapter number 2, I would also ask you to consider there's some context that would explain and elaborate verse 7 in Genesis chapter 2. They're in 1 Corinthians, and consider 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And if you're in chapter 15, also would like you to consider verse 42, 43, 44, 45, and 46, and 47. May I ask you all to stand up and we pray before we read the scriptures this morning. Father, we come before the throne of your grace this morning, and Lord, that we acknowledge you. We are finite man, you are infinite God. Lord, we brought nothing into this world, and we are going to get nothing with us when we leave this world. Lord, time is of essence before you have given us time. And with time, you have given us change. And whatever the chance that we may have this day today, we purposely come to the house of the Lord to hear your word so that, Lord, we may learn to get ourselves right, to know you, to hear you, to allow you to help us, to lead us in the path that we take. And Lord and God, we pray this morning for the dear family that is here, the boys, the girls, the fathers, the mothers, the grandparents. And thank you for the pastor, Paul, to allow me to share the word. And Lord, I pray that the word of God will fit our souls and the needs that are there and minister to us. Anything that I don't know, Lord, I pray that I commit me, my heart, my mind, and my lips, that, Lord, that you use it as your purpose. Thank you for today. We humble ourselves before the throne of your grace this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Now, let us read Genesis chapter 2 and consider verse 7. And we read that and you may see it. And I will continue to expound the context of this word. Genesis, consider Genesis chapter 2. And let me read that, then you may sit down. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. May God bless your heart. Please be seated. I want you to consider. There is a lot of things in this verse that time would not allow me to explain and expound everything. But there is one thought that I want to share with you this morning, and that is the person is you, me, man. And when we consider Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, I want you to see that man is somebody's idea. you and me, we are someone's idea. That idea was perceived in somebody's mind, and that is God's mind. So man is God's idea. That idea was conceived in the mind of God. And so God designed man, and we see the scripture, verse 26, consider verse 26. And when you consider verse 26, this is what the scripture says. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness and like, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So I want you to see, it was God's idea, God's purpose. And he said, let us make men. So then we see that in his image. And then what's the other word, if you consider it? There's another word that is there. Let us men make men our own image. And what's the other word? Likeness. Is there any difference between image and likeness? That's good. Probably you read your Bible and never thought about it. I think there's a difference between image and likeness. When I take a picture and show you the picture of my family, oh, this is your big boy. No, it's not my big boy. It's an image of my big boy. It's just a picture. It's not a real one. You correct me because I don't know a lot of English. You see a picture of your wife or your husband or your child. You said, oh, this is my wife. No, that's a picture. It's not your wife. Still good? So God created us the picture, not the real God in us. But there is part of God in us. Go back. Likeness. There is something like God in us. We are creating the picture of God, image of God, but there is a likeness of God in us. Pastor, what is that? There is a likeness of God in us. You go back to the scripture that we've considered this morning. Verse 7. And when you consider verse 7, the likeness of God right there, what is it? And God breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a. Come again. Brother, you look at your wife and say, this is my wife. Of course, that's your wife, as far as the image is concerned. But there is something more than just that wife that you have. You can claim her, I'm married to you. Yeah, you probably would like me. I said, you're my wife. Yeah. But there is something in her that you have not married to that, and that is called a soul. Because when we married, we take a hold that death shall separate us. when death separated the image, what happened to the likeness? Likeness goes back to the one who gives it. I may claim her as my wife. I may dictate her. Sometimes she humbles herself and says, okay. Sometimes she knows that I'm not right. But she listens to me. Because wives are very humble. But there is something in her that God puts, and that is not my likeness. That is His likeness. Because God made us of the dust of the earth, and He breathed into the man through these nostrils something from Him. And when that goes into the man, and that man became a... That's not just a soul. It's a living soul. Because it comes from a living being. We are a dying being. What we are. You may be wealthy. You may be healthy. Like these young boys that are here. But we are all dying beings. But in us, there is a living being. That is God. And part of God. And if you don't believe it, you wait until you see it. Then it'll be too late. We are living beings. Pastor, you're getting old and gray hair and you're dying because I'm losing all my tooth. All you see is the flesh. That is something in me you cannot see. It is that soul business that God is involved in. Only when a person sees the value of a soul, they commit themselves into that business. And God is in the business from that day when men fall till today to that point of the last call. And if you are saved and if you know it, we are in that business together with God. And if you are not saved, our concern is you. You need to know it. And you need to be saved. Because then it's settled. Or else, your soul is not settled with God yet. And I want you to consider the scriptures that we have chosen and go back to 1 Corinthians. And if you can consider 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want you to consider some of those thoughts that we just want you to know. And it is give us some context concerning to the scripture that we have considered. If you consider 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want you to consider these thoughts. Consider verse 41. Let's start there. There is one glory to the sun, another glory to the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differed from another star in glory. Wow. Man has now explored. There is vast areas in the space that we have never known. Now men are saying, hey, such and such and such. Still more. The stars are not identical. They're different. They could be planets. And then we consider verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in... Now, It is giving us a parabolic term that, like the stars, like us, we have one part that is dying and one part that is living. You may not see it and know it or neither realize it, but it is a fact. You are not what you see is. We are more than what we see with our naked eyes. And no man and no scientist, nor even eloquent man has told us all about man. It is what God said it is. And if you consider, said that there is a death, there is a resurrection. And then it tells us in verse 43, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. I want you to see there is a physical part of man and there is a spiritual part of man. We are born into a corruptible well, but when we pass out of this corruptible well, there is an eternal well out there. And then I wanted to consider verse 44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a. Do you know that? We have a natural body. That body is corruptible. But we do have a spiritual body, which is not corruptible. Consider that. And when you consider verse 45, that would link to the context of our verse this morning. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a... We just read about the first Adam out of the dust. And God put in part of him into that man. But then we also see another Adam. Because man sinned, separated man from God. And God has another plan to rescue soul. And that becomes the second Adam. First Adam is the living soul. What is the second Adam? What is he? Is there quickening? The power of resurrection, quickening. And if you could understand that, first Adam sinned, and human race becomes sinned because of one man sinned. And we all become sinners through that one man. And because of one man's righteousness, we are made righteous, and that is in one man, is God-man. His name is Christ. And for God to rescue men, there is only one hope, and their hope is in Christ. Because we are living soul, and living soul that is separated from God, there's going to be a bridge. And that bridge is not Baptist. That bridge is not religion. That bridge is not pastor. That bridge is nobody. It's only one bridge. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And would you consider some more scriptures? Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. Consider Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24. I want you to see what Genesis said here. And verse 3 and verse 24, chapter 3 and verse 20, let me see where we are. Okay, I am in Exodus and I'm said, what is this? All right, you're good. All right. Verse 24, I want you to consider that. Now we see, so... He drove So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and flaming sword, which tend every way to keep away of the tree of life. Now I want you to see that when man sinned, he is driven away from the presence of God. So then we see that sin separates man from God. Sin, because God is holy. A sinful man cannot live with God. So what does that simply mean? It simply means God cannot communicate. God cannot have audience with man. Why? Because of something that is in man. What is that? When Saul sinned, sin separated man from God's presence. Ezekiel, consider Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. If you consider Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4, I'm going to quote you a lot of scriptures because I want to convince you that you are not what you see you are. You are more than what your eyes can see. And if you don't believe it, you'll believe it later, but it'll be too late. And that's God's business. And men that see God see, they partner with God in that business. It's not a light business. It is a business that we give our life, our time, even sacrifice ourselves. Because it is one of those important business. It's the soul of man. Ezekiel 18 and chapter 18 verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. You can say, this is my son, this is my wife, this is my husband. But there is something more than your son, your wife, your husband. There is something more. And you cannot claim that. That is the soul part of a person. Sometimes in the village, people would argue, Pastor, it's strange, but we do pay dowry back at home. And one that is well educated said, 100,000 kina. And 100,000 kina would be like $30,000. The bride price in New Guinea is too expensive. Sometimes a preacher finds it out to marry a girl that they like because the bride price is too expensive. We cannot afford it. Sometimes the church would get a love offering. Let's get a love offering for the preacher to buy pay a dowry to his girlfriend. My. But when it is expensive, brother, you cannot afford it, so might as well consider another one. Oh, Pastor, that's the one that I loved. But you cannot afford it. We can put up value of a person depending on what they are, who they are. But there is another part of that person that you have no value. It's valueless. That's all. The value of the soul is the cost of Christ on the cross. How much can we afford to pay the cost of the blood that was shed on the cross? Valueless, but it is free. And it is free to those that see that they are sinners being separated, and then they want to be united with God. They will see the value of it. They will like it. Men do not see that today. Because they see themselves that they are worth it. But there is something in them that they don't see that value more than all that is in the world today. And God has said that all soul is mine. The soul of the Son, so is the Father. The soul of the Son is mine, and soul that sinneth, it shall die. Soul that sinneth, it shall die. So, Pastor, what does die mean? Literal? No, no, no. when somebody die, we kind of mourn. You don't mourn much here, but in New Guinea, we mourn much. Then we will bury them. Then we'll put up a little note on a plywood or a brick, R.I.P. Probably you have seen R.I.P. in other graves, but probably ours is coming. And we're not escaping, because that's the highway, interstate. We are traveling in it. Except if the rapture comes, we're going to escape it. And what does sin does? Sin separates. It's not only body separates, because body goes back to the dust. But what sin does, it separates what God has put in us and what God said it's part of me. Sin separates the soul from God, and that matters to God. When you see an American, or you see a New Guinean, or you see those that you're fighting against, those that are bringing illegal things out there, and people are dying in numbers, and we don't care about them, but God does care about them. Because souls are going to spend eternity somewhere. Souls are going to spend eternity somewhere. And soul that sinned died. So the word die means, oh, they die in hell and that's it. No, the greatest part of dead means separation from God. That's a big deal. Whether it is darkness or falling or dying in hell, it's separation from so God. When a soul is separated from God, there is no love, there is no peace, there is no joy, there is no meekness. It's all hatred and bitterness and cursing, and it's all evil. That's separation from God. Isaiah 59, if you could consider, verse 1 to 2. I told you that I'm going to convince you. I want you to know what Saul is. And if you consider Isaiah, please consider Isaiah chapter 59. If you're there with me, chapter 59, I want you to consider this, verse 1, 2. Behold, the Lord's hands is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Understand what God is telling Israel. Israel is is the apple of God's eye. But there is something that separates Israel that God cannot see, God cannot hear. And that is it, the subject, sin. Sin. And sin separates churches, Christians, families. I want you to see something more than what sin does. When sin separates a man from God. Consider Luke. If you consider Luke chapter 16. And I want you to consider verse 16. Luke gives us a glimpse of eternal state of the living soul. So I want you to see what happens to the living soul when body is put to the dust where it belongs, and when soul is separated from God. I want you to see Luke 16, consider this. Consider verse 23. When man dies, soul has the ability to live. And when soul has the ability to live, what happens? And that is the part that you don't know, I don't know, but the Lord Jesus, I believe that He opens the curtain of eternity to show us what happened on the other side. And the other side is the reality. It's a real world. Real people. And they live in a real place. And if you can consider verse 23, Luke 16, verse 23, I want you to consider this. And this is what verse 16 says, Luke 16 and verse 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. I want you to consider this thought. The rich man saw Abram. The rich man saw Lazarus. Were they real? I'm asking you, were they real? But he's dead. He's dead. They buried him. And how did they? He saw them in real shape. There is something more that I want to show to you. Abraham lived many, 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 many years ago. And now did he realize that is Abraham? Now tell me. These men died sometimes later. But Abraham lived many, many years ago. But when he went down to hell, he saw Abraham. Lazarus, he knew him because he lived with him. But how did he recognize Abraham? He's not in a physical state. He's in a spiritual state. And being in the spiritual state, you see things clearly because you're not in a natural form. You're in a spiritual form. And being in the spiritual form, now you see clearly there is a well out there that you read everybody, even to trace it down to Abram and to Adam. Your descendants. Why? Because you have a perfect mind. But in that perfect mind, you're in the wrong place. Because man is separated from God because of sin. And I want you to see. Is the man having some fun out there? He's not having fun. Instead, what did he say? For I am tormented in this flame. So when you read this word tormented, that simply means that hey, he's experiencing some unpleasant things, a process of suffering, if you could. That is the state of soul when soul is separated from God. Consider verse 24. In verse 24, I wanted to see that. In verse 24, there is one more concern out here. He said that. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip. The tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in these flames. is asking for, how much does that tip of finger hold, how much water does it hold? Hey, come on, you all know what the tip of finger holds. How much does a tip of finger holds? How much water does it hold? A drop, if you're lucky. It's just a wet. For I am tormented. He's not asking for a cup of water. He's asking for just to cool my tongues. And that's how much desperate solace when it is separated from God. So we see that soul desires, soul longs, soul tests, soul begs, because the soul is in a desperate state without God. Now you're not in a desperate state. You're good, my friend. You are good. But the good does not continue to exist on the other side. What good that we experience now does not last. That's the reason why the business that we involve, reaching souls, before their time is up. For it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this that's it. Soul is separated. That's the judgment. Soul is separated. Now you're not separated because you're still in the body. There is hope, there is grace, there is time. Pastor, our pastor doesn't preach like that. You're really lifting up your voice. I want you to see. There are cries coming out from hell. And nobody will convey those their message. It's real out there. Our loved ones are there. Our friends are there. Some of our family members are there. And we're just pretending that we're going to live on this side forever. We are not going to live on this side forever. Soon we're going to join them. So which side are you going to be? With Abram or with the rich fool out there that took life for granted and soul become of no value to him, but he realized it when it was too late. There are some things more that I want you to see in verse 26. If you consider verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so the day which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. He's asking for water and everything. But then Abraham said to him, I'm sorry, but you see between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Eternal separation. There is a great gulf fixed. See, that eternal separation, no man is able to bridge that. Because once a soul is dead and gone to the other side, that eternal gulf got fixed. That great gulf is not fixed on this side, because we've got grace, we've got mercy, we've got love, we've got the blood of Christ, we've got time. But time is limited to us. Nobody's going to live forever. We're all going to die. And when you die, what next? That's the next thing. That is the next thing. And brother, my friend, I want you to see, there is a great gulf fixed. John 3 and 16, on this side, that gulf that is fixed and that separates man from God. And there is only one hope that we have. John 3:16. You know the scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. Whosoever, regardless whether you can be white man or blue man or black man or gray man, whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting. That is the only bridge of hope for a soul to be connected to a living God. That is only the bridge. That is only available on this side, because on that side there is no bridge at all. Because you're already on the eternity side. You're already on the all-knowing side, the perfect side. And that is why it is important for faith. Only faith will take us to the other side. Having faith in Christ and Christ alone. Consider John chapter, Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to that which was like you and me. We are disconnected from God, separated from God. Only Christ come to seek and to save and to connect us to God. I like the scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 4. For him that is connected to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. A person that is connected. How can a person be connected? That's an interesting word. A person that is connected. Some folks think that a person is connected when they go to church. Some folks think that they are connected when they get baptized. Some folks think that they are connected because of good deeds. The word connected. How can a person be connected to God? We need to see that and dig that out. A man and woman, they're two different beings. But what makes them connected? That's a good question. What makes them connected? Of course, marriage. Because marriage makes them one. Pastor, I don't know that. You need to understand that. You are two different beings, but when you are married, you become one. And they are one, even one in the flesh. And when we are connected to God, we are one in the Spirit. How does man become one to God? But as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed in his name. And John chapter 1 and verse 13, which were born not of blood, neither of the flesh, neither of the will of man, but of God. So how do they become God's children and connected to God? Through Christ. But as many as receive him, to them gave he the power. What kind of power is that? What kind of power to become his children, sons, daughters? What kind of power is that? Yeah, I know it's spiritual. What kind of power is that? We are human beings born into human families. But when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, he gives us the power. What power is that? Okay, good. Holy Spirit. What else? There is a power that is known as the power of adoption from a dead family into the living family. And that is only in Christ. Which were not born of blood, nor of the will of man, neither will of the flesh, but of God. Born into the family of God. And that is called born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, You cannot see the kingdom of God except you be born again. Now this word seed, what does that mean? See. It's not literal eyes can see. No, no, no. When a person is separated, he cannot experience spiritual relationship with God only through Christ. And without Christ, water baptism cannot. Baptist cannot. Pastor cannot. I cannot. Nobody was able to. Only those that are in Christ. That's why Jesus said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is disconnected, lost. To connect us. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, we see that because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his sons into our hearts, reconciling, crying, Abba, Father. So please, we do all understand that. And John, of course, John chapter 10 and verse 28 tells us that, and I give unto them eternal life. And no man is able to pluck them out of my hands. My Father which give them me is greater than all. No man is able to see. For my Father and I, Jesus said, are one. So in Christ, we are complete in the Father. We have eternal life. And our soul is secured. We need to understand all that. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jews and Gentiles, Greeks alike. God is not a respecter of person, whether you are Jew or Gentile. Salvation is in one. And that Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of Christ. There are some more things that I want us to see. And these things are very, very important. Romans, if you can consider the book of Romans, take your Bibles there to Romans chapter number 10. And if you're with me, we're getting into closing right now. Romans chapter 10. And you see, in Romans chapter number 10, I wanted to consider these important words. Romans chapter 10, and consider our person who would believe and trust Christ and that God would save him. You see that in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and verse number 10. And in verse 13, we see that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Available. Salvation is available in Christ. For God said, whosoever, man or woman or boy or girl, raise any man, anytime, anywhere, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. And then I want you to consider verse 14. And verse 14 tells us this, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? God is not willing any should perish. But there is a lost well out there without knowledge of God, without any hope at all, still dying. And here we've got a gospel. We have the hope. There's got to be one need to preach that. The one that is no God, no eternity, no well where our soul is going to spend eternity. And there is a well out there that does not have that knowledge. And here God said, except they be sent. Thank you for playing a very important, vital role in supporting well missions. It is that well missions that bridge that gap between those that know and those that don't know. The worst part is that there are some religious people out there. They know God, they know religion, they know soul, but they're still not connected. We are not in a religious business. We're in a soul-saving business. It is that soul-saving business. I want you to consider verse 15. And in verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's the good news. The gospel becomes the good news to those that are lost without hope, that have no news at all. Gospel become the good news. And we have that good news. Let's send the gospel to the world that is dying. And I salute you for every prayer that you pray, every money that you put, whatever that love that you poured in getting the gospel out to the dying world. God bless your heart. You may not see it, but your love will touch a soul out there. And in eternity, somebody will look at your face and say, thank you. I don't know you, but you remember you support a missionary. That missionary preached the gospel. Late John Owens from Fountain in Greenville. We were there in South Carolina, almost near the place. And when I shared my testimony about John Owens and how he reached, some folks said, we know him. He lives up there. And I said, I don't know you, but I know those that sent him. And he preached the gospel because those people touched my life. You could touch someone's life out there. Continue on praying and supporting missionaries. And I looked at him and said, I don't see them now, but there are some faceless men and women that touch me. They are not here. Some of them already in glory. But I am their reward. I am their price. They sent a missionary. Now I am able to stand up here in Greenville and preach a gospel. Many of them were in tears. We may not see it now, but there is a well out there that we will connect them and that will last forever in eternity. Everything that we enjoy today will be gone, but only those things that is done for Christ will last in eternity. Consider these thoughts. We partner with God in this soul-saving business. Let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Winifred Baptist Church, we salute you for what you are doing, that we will continue doing what we have been called to do till we passed out from this side. May God bless your heart.